Self-Evident is a podcast that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, but doing so in love. Hail and well met, everybody. My name is Jenna, and with me today are my lovely co-hosts,
Alyssa,
Rebecca.
And we are here today in our brand new filming location, which God graciously provided through the wonders of Rebecca. And we're so grateful to you. Thank you so much for this. It's absolutely such a cool little location. And we're really excited to actually start filming. And yes, these are our faces. And you've seen Alyssa multiple times before. But yeah, we are now officially on YouTube. And it's really exciting. We're really excited about it. Today, we're going to be talking about a few different topics that I know Alyssa said that she wasn't really familiar, like, oh, I didn't really see this trend until it was made personal. And so we're talking today about the spirit of animosity between children and their parents. Also, we're talking about why it's so important to wait on the Lord when it comes to finding a spouse. So guys, what have your thoughts been recently? I know, Alyssa, you were saying something along the fact, like, I didn't really notice anything was happening in children rebelling against parents and everything, even though, like, so many times in scripture it says, you'll know that you're in the end days when, you know, daughter turns against mother and father turns against son and everything. And so you're like, I don't really see that happening. And then you turn around, you're like, wait a second, let me actually think about what that actually means.
Yeah.
So, Rebecca, you're the one who brought this up. What do you mean when you see your... when you say that you're seeing this everywhere?
Yeah, like the more that I chat with like young adults specifically, so like I'm a millennial, so a little older than you guys, but like I think almost every millennial friend I have, and I would say actually almost everyone, if they have siblings, one of them either is at odds very strongly with their parents, very disrespectful in certain ways to their parents, if not, and I'm seeing a huge trend this way, like black sheep, does not talk to their parents, like prodigal son, before he comes back. And like I have this sadly in my own family, and it tends to be an oldest thing, and it's been interesting. And I think the more I talk to people and the more that I'm in my Bible reading program, I'm in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament has a lot to say about oldests and about birthright, but also a lot to say about like stoning your child if they go against you and if you disrespect your parents. And so the more I read it, the more I'm like, wow, like it's such a Satan trend right now to like get the heart of the firstborn, or at least get the heart of a child, and turn it so far away from their parents. And obviously there are exceptions to the rule, but more often than not, it's because of a sin pattern in this child's life, because I'm in a lot of Christian evangelical communities.
Right.
And that's why the child's turning away from the parent.
So in the child or in the parent?
In the child.
Okay.
So sin going on in the child's life, and the parent is an evangelical Christian.
Yeah.
Or it's like pride I'm seeing a lot of. So if it's not like the sin issue, it's the sin issue of pride. And it's just a like shocking and alarming trend that I'm seeing. And it doesn't even have to be that drastic, like in life. So I don't know, have you guys seen anything in that realm of like one of your siblings, one of these things are not like the other, you know? Like,
I've come from a background of being in a home discipleship church where like the majority of the families there, they were all homeschooled. My church was very, very focused on home discipleship. And so the fathers were taught to teach their children at home. But unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of tools and equipment or spiritual equipment given to these families to know, okay, this is actually how you can encourage your children in the Lord. Because in the scripture, I think it's Paul who does say that, you know, fathers, you're not supposed to provoke your children to anger. And unfortunately, there was a lot of that was happening, because parents are not perfect, you know, and a lot of kids do feel justified in their resentment against their parents, being like, well, they hurt me with X, Y, and Z. So thus, I need to separate myself in order to live a healthy life and be toxicity free, basically.
Right.
So I did see a lot of that where I grew up with these kids.
Yeah.
And as we entered our teen years, you started to see they didn't really want to talk to their parents at all. And they would confide in me things where I'm sitting there as a 17-year-old being like, I don't know how to help you. Did you talk to your mom about this? Because that's what I would do. And they would be like, I want nothing to do with her. And then when we get into our 20s, they start leaving, to the point where they just move halfway across the country because they want nothing to do with their families. So I do think that, unfortunately, it happens with every single generation. It is a huge part of holding bitterness in our hearts against our parents. Because as kids, we are going to be the ones who see the most amount of sin in our parents' lives. Because
with anyone else.
We grew up with them as our idols.
Yep.
And so then when they start to fall short of our expectations for
them. You're not perfect?
Yeah. What? It's like, excuse me, what's going on here?
Yes.
And then that's when the cookie starts to crumble, and that's when the resentment builds up in her heart. You were supposed to be, you know, my perfect father figure. You were supposed to provide for all of my my needs and my comforts as my mother. You were supposed to, like, nurture me and sustain me, and and you fell short of that. And so what am I supposed to do with this?
Why do you,
you didn't protect me.
Specifically this generation, though? Because, yes, parents have always been sinners. Oh, my gosh, shocker, shocker. But why is it this generation? Because even, like, in past generations, parents have fallen short, but this blame game has never, I don't think, existed this harshly. Like, do
when you say blame game, do you mean like the children are blaming their parents, like, this is how I turned out because of my family?
Yes. And like, and I love that you brought up, like, the parents aren't perfect, like, there are reasons. And I think it's a saying, one of my favorite sayings ever, there are reasons, not excuses. So parents, there are reasons why they raised you the way they did.
Of course,
they're, Lord willing, sinners saved by grace, but still sinners. So they are gonna mess up and they are gonna falter, and there is, like, a lot of these kids have reasons, right? But then, like, okay, that doesn't make an excuse for you to absolutely, like, disown your your parents. So, like, I wondered why, like, why this time period? Do you think it's like society embraces that and society is doing the same thing with their parents? Do you think it's the disrespect of parents in the American culture? Because the more I talk to people from other cultures, this is not a thing. Like, in the Asian culture, you are not disrespecting your family. And the more I went overseas this past summer, and I went to Turkey, and they are predominantly Muslim. One of the main reasons it is so hard to get out of that culture is because the disrespect that you bring to your family by disowning the faith is like astronomical. And the way that you are, like, disowned from your family and everything like that, because it's just so disrespectful, and respect in a good way, but in an idolized way, is in their culture. So to ask someone, okay, you have to leave your faith, they're saying, you're asking me to disrespect my parents. And that is something I don't know if I can do. So, like, it gives me goosebumps that, like, people truly, like, follow Christ in those kind of situations. But you come to the United States, and disrespecting your parents, that's funny. Disrespecting your parents, that's Little Mermaid. Like, that is actually, we just talked about last night with a bunch of women, that's almost every Disney film. Like Pinocchio, LOL, like, lied, it's actually really funny, everything ended up fine. So it's like, do you think it's an American culture thing maybe that we're even seeing? How, like, this is the trend and this is what it's brought us to? Like, the disrespect of your parents, it's like, hey, there's actually no qualm with it. Like, society's going to be fine with you and it's okay. Like, I'm that's where I'm like, I'm trying to find, like,
the root problem.
Yeah, like the why.
What I would say is, I always like to, not because I think this is wrong, but I personally like to lay blame at the feet of the church with a lot of these things. Because, yes, culture does these things, like you were saying with Disney movies. I mean, Aladdin, same thing. She rebels against her father. And it's a Muslim movie. Like, girl, what are you wearing, first of all? You in an Arab country wearing that, going out by yourself, meeting a homeless man. You know? So there are so many aspects. But when it comes to American culture in general, I genuinely see this trend in the church. And I think it answers more your question. When it comes to, like, evangelicals experiencing this, and that the false gospel of self-love has made its way so much into the church. So, like, the language of boundaries and toxicity and making sure that you're safe and that you're taken care of, I think people latch on to so much. And pastors have not done, like you were saying, an adequate job of training and teaching people how to combat these idealistic things, these false gospels that come along in our culture. So many evangelical Christians that I have seen online have just really latched on to the culture of self-love, which is why I love Ali Bestucky's book, You're Not Enough, and that's okay. If you haven't read it, go read it. It's just a great way to just see yourself of how selfish we can be. And so when I see kids going away from the faith because their parents were not these perfect parents.
And the church hurt me.
And the church hurt me. I see it as ultimately it's a rejection of God.
Amen. And, like, that leads actually, like, so perfectly into, like, this other aspect of, like, youth group. I am such not a fan of youth group, because who is the church? We are the church. Is it the church's job to disciple your children?
No.
And that's why I love your church, where they had it half there. It's like, oh, it's the family's job.
Yes.
Support the family in doing that, right?
Right.
So it's like all these kids that are going to the youth groups and going to the churches, like, why does the church fail? Because we are putting so much on the church that should not be on the church. And so like, true. I went to 4 different youth groups growing up, and not one of them, other than the one that was actually like the most spiritually enriching, was the Lutheran church. Wow. And I was very shocked by that, but they actually took us to the scriptures. We didn't do weird things like eating chili out of diapers, like some of these ones were doing, like, because that's youth group. Like when you think of youth group and the especially like American youth group, you're like, what does that have to do with the gospel? Why? Absolutely nothing. But every parent that's sending their kid a youth group is thinking that their kids are getting solid theology. Yeah. They're being discipled in the word. No, they're not. No. They're being babysat for a couple hours, and we're pretending it's discipleship. And that's 100% a way that Satan has gotten in the church. Absolutely. And he's lulling us continually to sleep. Mm-hmm. But it is. It's the parent's job. And like again, like that's so interesting. I truly believe like Satan has been able to like disconnect the church from parents and parents from their children. Right. So then that dad and that mom is not the discipler of these mm-hmm. kids. So right. How much easier is it to be able to have that distance from mm-hmm. them and to be able to grow that hostility if that person isn't the one who is showcasing Christ to you? Because they are showcasing, it hurts sometimes, but if they're not the one actually leading you in the faith, it's easier to
grow that distance. And that kind of goes into, and this is a completely separate topic, but the culture of public school that is really alive and well in the evangelical Christian community, how even in education, parents have really taken a back seat to, I'm going to outsource that, which sometimes is fine. I mean, we look at the Little House on the Prairie days and how they outsource it to Miss Beadle, and all the families get together and they send their kids to the one room schoolhouse.
But again, that was not more than 15 kids.
Right. And it was also meeting in the church. And the parents were still involved heavily in their children's academics, sitting with them at the dinner table, going through their homework with them. So you can say here or there whether or not you can ever outsource your education, because I was private schooled. I really loved the private school method. Okay. It's not perfect, obviously, but when it comes to education, you really see that of, okay, I'm going to outsource this. I'm going to send them to a secular environment, but then I'm going to offset that and send them to youth group and send them to church and expect that all it's the stuff, that all the stuff that they've learned in public school is just going to be swapped. Mm-hmm. By just 1 hour.
Yeah, it's
going to
be counteractive.
Right. And and that just doesn't work. And so many, you know, my husband and I have been involved in youth group for so many years. We actually took a step back because we're having a baby. When we were involved in youth group, we saw that attitude so much with parents of, this is your job to disciple my kids. I don't have the energy or the time for it. And this is your job. And if my kids are acting up, I would just prefer you to handle it. Yeah. It's like, okay, we're not the babysitters. You need to like fix your child. Yeah. So many aspects of youth group, like to your point, is very babysitty.
Yeah. The American outsource. So like the parent, so that's interesting. So it's the idea that like the parent outsourced evangelism.
I think that's where we're starting to see a little bit of the root problem here, where it's the child and the parent have been separated from each other and having a heart-to-heart relationship, which is something I know that your parents were really intentional about making sure that they had a good relationship with their kids. And it wasn't only like, you know, oh, do your chores and go to bed. And,
disciplinary.
This is what God says. So you're doing it and you don't have to ask why. They explain like, no, this is why we do what we do. This is why. Mm-hmm. And that is something that really was one of the reasons a lot of my friends got embittered against their parents and they left, because they're growing up and they're like, okay, but why are we doing this? Why aren't we allowed to wear skirts above the ankles? Like, where did you get that rule?
Yeah.
Well, because I said so.
Yeah.
The parents, they did start seeing that at the end and they tried to rectify the problem, but it was too late.
Yeah.
Mm. I know another reason a lot of kids are embittered against their parents, or even maybe not even embittered against their parents, but they just don't have that heart-to-heart relationship with them. And so it's kind of just like a, I'll see them at the holidays. I mean, I'm indifferent to them. It's not like they've deeply hurt me. Well, the Bible says that we're supposed to honor our parents. So what does that look like?
Mm. Right.
A lot of us as adults now, we don't know, okay, so we're supposed to honor our parents. Yeah, but how does that look now? Because when we were kids, we were just supposed to obey. Mm. Right. You know, like do as I say, but now we're fully fledged human beings. So what does that mean?
Yep.
How do we honor our parents today?
Yep.
And I was actually listening to something very, very interesting from Pastor Toby Sumter. If you do not know who he is a fantastic pastor in Moscow, Idaho, and I really love his teachings. And he had a whole practical Christianity 101 where he would talk about like the Ten Commandments and just have like a little 20-minute segment so this is what it's supposed to look like. He brought up the fact that the word honor literally translates to meaning heavy. Your parents' wishes and commands should lay heavily on your heart. And so when you were talking about the Muslim culture and how deeply they would be disconcerted by saying, like, I can't reject my faith because that would disrespect my parents. The honor was laying very heavily on them. Their wishes and their respects of the parent was so deeply imprinted on this kid's heart that they didn't want to disrespect them. And obviously there's a time and place for respecting parents, but then also going your own way, because respectfully, some your parents are fallen human beings, so they're going to make wrong decisions. And as your own fully fledged Christian, you need to make your own decisions based on what scripture says and
For sure.
how scripture is influencing your conscience. So what does that look like today to honor your parents as a fully fledged adult?
Well, for me, because, you know, I'm married and I live out of the house and we're starting our own family, so we're kind of in that transition and have been in that transition of we're our own family unit now. So for us, what we've found to be honoring to our parents is that we still respect their advice and we respect the opinions that they have.
And you reach out to them.
And we reach out to them. We have regular conversations with both sets of parents. But at the end of the day, it's clear that, you know, Ben is the head of our household. And if the Lord is leading him into a decision that maybe not everyone agrees with or not everyone is happy with, that's okay, because our obedience is to Christ and my obedience is to my husband now. It's transferred from my parents to my husband. But at the same time, that doesn't mean we're like, Mom, Dad, we don't need any of your stupid advice. What do you know? So I guess that's just what it looks like for us.
Yeah, as a single woman, it's so interesting to think about, like, oh, so am I still under my father? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, when I dated the guy, he was like, so I'm going to ask your dad. And I was like, I'm 29.
You could just ask me.
Right. But, like, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, why is that bad? Like, why would that be bad to ask my dad? Like, the more I thought about it, especially, like, I've been given a dad that, like, totally showcases Christ for me. And, like, just the love and the care and the amount of, just, like, support. Oh, 100%. Like, he has set the bar incredibly high. And I was like, wait, like, I would love for this man to meet my father. And, like, that's the way that God, our Father, has set it up. Like, the hierarchy and the reasons why we respect our parents. Because our parents gave so much to us. Yeah. And so, like, I think it's just this idea of, like, honestly, sometimes, like, Christ in the church. And just, like, how God loves us. He gave so much for us. And we love him for that. And so, like, when it comes to our parents, sometimes I just think, like, logically, where I'm like, my parents at least spent, like, $100,000 on me. No, like, probably $200,000, if not $300,000, to raise me until I was 18 years old. At least I can thank them and be cordial enough to them as someone who gave me life.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Who gave me, like, a home and shelter and clothing. Yeah. And I get to say, brought me to Christ and homeschooled me in a safe environment. Like, there's so much. And, like, to be thankful for that our parents have given us. And I think it's just, like, the self-righteousness that keeps us from that. I think a way to respect your parents is to, like, yes, you can see all the flaws and you can see all that they have done that's wrong. And we need to be honest about those things.
Yeah.
But we also take a minute and think of all the good things that they've done for you and stop taking it for granted. Because I think the moment that we stop taking all of that for granted, we're like, okay, so they are flawed, but let's find somewhere that we can, like, have them lay heavy on our heart and have their opinion. And like you said, if it goes against Christ, okay, we need to reassess. But if not, these are good things. Like, these are people that God placed in our lives. Actually, God placed you in their lives.
Yeah.
And, like, for a reason.
And God gave you to them as a charge. You know, he entrusted you as an image bearer to these two fallen people to raise in the nurture and admonition of him. Amen. A lot of people are, unfortunately, they don't have maybe the same type of loving parenting or maybe even they came from a broken household.
Right.
It doesn't matter at the end, because as a Christian, if you are a Christian, you are called to honor your parents. You may be saying, well, my father's an alcoholic. How can I honor that? Well, no, you're not supposed to honor the sin.
Amen.
But if your father is holding down a job, maybe, or if he's providing groceries or something, find a good thing to respect about him.
Amen.
If your mother is very, very critical, you don't have to admire that sin.
Amen.
But find a place where, wow, she dropped off a meal for me. Amen. Well, that's very sweet of her. So, and then vocalize that honor, because if it's just in your heart, how are you going to fix that relationship with your parents?
Yeah, right.
So something that Pastor Sumter said that was surprising to me is he said, write a letter of thankfulness and respect to your parents.
I love
like,
that.
Thank you for all of these things that you've done for me. And I was thinking to myself, like, wow, that would really mean so much to someone who has poured at least 16, 17, 18 years of their entire life into raising you. Yes. You know, my mother gave up her higher education to raise my family. Like, my siblings and I, we don't realize that. You know, this woman is a genius.
She laid down her life for you.
Literally.
Like, when you think of that, like, and if a mother has a child, like, she laid down her life for you. And, like, some mothers more than others were, like, some more than others, but, like, some, like, it was a very difficult pregnancy. Like, she could have died in pregnancy. Whatever amount of motherhood to you, she laid down that part of her life for you.
So true. Amen. And to your, both of your guys' points, it just reminded me of how much God hates ungratefulness. And so many of these kids and these young adults that we're seeing, you know, lambasting their parents. And it seems like they do have that common theme of, I am not grateful. I don't have anything to be grateful for because you destroyed my childhood. And look how toxic you were. And you raised me this way. And I can't believe that you told me these things about Christianity. And I just don't trust anyone anymore. I don't trust the church. You all are toxic. I'm just going to go run away to another state and never talk to you again. Or I'm just going to talk to you when it benefits me. And so much of that theme is just ungratefulness. And if you read, like, the Old Testament, like you were talking about, you just see this theme of how much God hates it. And I remember in the book of Numbers how the Israelites are complaining about not having enough food and yada, yada, yada. And we're not grateful. And it'd be better if we stayed in Egypt because, oh, I would rather be in Egypt because we had so much better food there. And instead, we're going to die out here in the desert. Just so dramatic. And he, in response, gives them so much quail that they choke on it. And I just remember that lesson just striking home so much of how much God hates complaining. He hates it when you are so ungrateful for everything he's done, everything he's given through you, through your parents.
And I love, like, he doesn't just hate it because you don't think about God like, oh, like, okay, he just wants us to be grateful all the time. It's because what is being ungrateful lead to bitterness. And, like,
so true.
Name someone who has, like, cut themselves off from their family in such a, like, stark, evil, contrasty way that's happy. Like, all of these people that I think of and that I hear about and all these siblings, it's like they are so miserable. Because if you are living against God and you're going against his laws and what he has set up, he set that up for our good because he is good. And so it's so interesting to see what leads, what ungratefulness leads to.
It and it also just, it also demonstrates that bitterness is the, it only hurts yourself. It's
so
like, hold, my mom compares it to holding a dirty diaper to your chest. And it, like, it's only hurting you. You're going to be the only one affected by this. And as Christians, we are called to be ready with forgiveness. So say your parents have wronged you in a certain way. Well, take the log out of your own eyes before addressing that with your parents. So go to them and say, I acknowledge that I've messed up here, here, and here. Someone doesn't have to ask for your forgiveness in order for you to give it. It's like the conflict's not going to be solved until the, you know, forgiveness is sought, but at least you can have it ready for them.
Yeah, have a heart of forgiveness. For sure.
We would be amiss if we don't bring, like, it's Christ. Like, it's, he's the only hope. Like, at the end of the day, non-believers could try to walk this path and have this great, you know, relationship with their parents and things like that, but it's like, pray. So if you're going to pray for them, like, don't pray that they make, you know, reparations with your parents. Like, pray that they make reparations with Christ, because, like, he's the only way to do it right. And then, like, pray for your parents. Pray that they would be ready and willing to, like, give that forgiveness whenever the time comes.
And then also offer or apologies of their own if they have wronged the sibling as well.
So true.
So there is hope.
I agree.
Hi guys, it's Jenna. You just listened to part one of our conversation. Check back next Friday for part two, where we discuss the importance of waiting on the Lord when it comes to finding your spouse. Thank you so much to Overshadowed Theatrical Productions for graciously giving us the space to film and record. And huge shout out to Rebecca Leland for agreeing to be a guest host on Self-Evident. We love her heart for Christ, the wisdom she has to share, and just the joy she is to be around. I highly recommend everyone go giving her a follow on Instagram. And while you're at it, follow Overshadowed Theatrical Productions. We can't wait for you to hear part two next Friday. And until we meet again, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.